Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, it's Friday, March the 15th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, find out which part of Kent has been named the best place to live in the South East. Hear from the Gillingham boss ahead of their next game, and we've got your What's On roundup for the weekend. But first today, a Sheppey dad has been told he may only have 15 months to live after suffering from severe headaches. This is our most read story today, and Kate joins me now with more. Kate, incredibly sad, and it only started feeling unwell last month.
Yes, that's right. Rick Smith started getting headaches in February, and at first he thought it was a virus. But the 39-year-old from Minster then started to have to take time off work. His fiance encouraged him to see a GP. He was initially told to drink more water, but the headaches didn't go away. Following an eye test on March 2nd, he was sent to hospital for a CT scan, which revealed a butterfly glioblastoma on the left side of his brain.
And he's having more tests today.
Yes, medics need to do a biopsy and then they can decide on treatment. However, his partner, Katrina, says any treatment they do will only prolong his life. As you can imagine, she says this is devastating news and it's rocked the family. Rick has three children and a stepson. He's also the main breadwinner. Friends and family have now started fundraising for private treatment and to pay for Rick's 40th birthday and the couple's wedding. Within 3 days, they've already raised more than £42,000.
Kate, thank you ever so much. And you can find a link to that fundraising page within the story today at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories, and six people are still being questioned after the death of a man near Faversham on Wednesday night. Adam Pritchard died following a stabbing in Boughton-under-Blean. The suspects, who are all aged between 33 and 43, were detained as part of the murder investigation. A multi-millionaire landlord from Maidstone has been accused of harassing councillors despite a High Court injunction. It comes after a decade of harassment in which Fergus Wilson repeatedly instructed councillors to kill themselves and sent huge numbers of unsolicited letters and emails. He's been taken back to court by bosses in Ashford who say he's not stopped. A judgment is due next month. Two men have been jailed after being caught in Dover trying to smuggle a number of people, including a six-year-old boy, out of the UK. The pair, one of which lives in Bromley, were found guilty of assisting unlawful immigration by trying to hide the Algerian and Moroccan nationals in a lorry on its way to France. They've been given a combined sentence of more than 11 years. A Tunbridge biker who collided with a pedestrian as he sped off from police in Tunbridge Wells has avoided jail. William Bernardo's motorbike was travelling at double the speed limit before the crash on Mount Pleasant Road, which left a woman with a fractured thigh bone. The 21-year-old who lives in Priory Road received a two-year suspended sentence. He's also been banned from driving for 3 years. Now, a meeting's being held later to look at what can be done to rescue woodland near Ashford that's been targeted by illegal dumping. Lorry loads of rubbish has been left in Hodes Wood over a three-year period. Well, Ian Rickards is from the Kent Wildlife Trust.
We're talking thousands of tonnes of waste. This is mountainous areas covering 4 acres. In places, it's 10 metres high of dumped rubbish. And these are eight-wheeler big trucks wheeling it in and out, dumping material, going off, collecting more material, going in and dumping it off. And it's stuff that's been, it's not just, you know, we're not talking about mattresses and sofas here. This is processed stuff that's come from a waste tip. So it's gone through a waste area. It's been mashed up or whatever they do to it, gone into the back of the lorries, presumably supposed to be going to landfill. And instead, by avoiding paying very high landfill tax costs, they've been dumping it in the middle of this woodland site. And this woodland site has become a landfill site in the middle of a protected woodland.
And can you just describe to our listeners what it's like to walk through Hodes Wood at the moment?
It's pretty upsetting, actually. So you've got a quite distinct line of where the rubbish is and where the rubbish isn't. When you get outside that line, it's a typical sort of beautiful Kent woodland. So you've got bluebells coming through the leaf litter at the moment. You know, the trees, the birds are singing, and then suddenly you hit this wall, literal wall of dumped waste. The smell is quite something. It makes your eyes water. You've got hydrogen sulfide, which is being released from all this tons and tons of material breaking down. You've got this stuff that's leaching into the water. There's water courses, there's ditches running all the way through the site as well, which are yellow and scummy and stinking. It takes your breath away with how awful it is. It's quite something.
Must be really upsetting for people who live in the area and people who go and visit the woods, but also really damaging for the wildlife as well.
So I mean that I mean obviously the, there's you know there's the specific damage where it's been or the area it's been sitting on, which is not a small area, but then everything that's coming from that is leaching into the soil, going into the water courses, affecting the soil and the vegetation around it. It's going to have massive ongoing repercussions for the whole area.
And you mentioned there's the meeting tonight to try and sort of gather some ideas of what can be done about this. I mean, what are you hoping will come out of this? Because there are quite important authorities who are going to be there, you know, Environment Agency, Kent Police, MP Damien Green. I mean, what's your hope for this meeting?
My hope is that there'll be some cleanup exercise planned, that it'll be removed and it will get back to the state it should have been in. I'm hoping there'll be plans and procedures put in place so that this sort of thing cannot happen again. And I'm hoping that somebody's going to get prosecuted and that the full weight of the law is put on to onto the people that are carrying out this work.
Kent Online reports.
Yvette Cooper's been telling the Kent Online podcast what she thinks a Labour government would mean for Medway. The Shadow Home Secretary's been in the towns to visit a mental health project in Gillingham. She's urged Rishi Sunak to call a vote sooner rather than later, claiming everything feels broken. She's been speaking to our local democracy reporter, Robert Boddy.
Why have you come to Medway today?
Well, Nishaba Khan has invited me here to see this brilliant project, the Men in Sheds project here. And they're doing great work because it is working with the community, it's tackling loneliness, it's being really practical and positive. And it's also about preventing the kinds of crises, mental health crises that people can get into later on. They're doing some brilliant work here and involving as many people as possible.
And what do you think the value of these sorts of schemes are for people, as you say, who may suffer with mental health or loneliness and that sort of thing?
I think it's really important to have the prevention work in the community. And this is the kind of thing that can prevent people getting into all sorts of problems later on, and also prevent the kinds of crises that end up having huge pressures and costs on our public services later on. And at a time when it really does feel like our public services are broken, that local services are being undermined, this is about communities coming together to prevent things going wrong as part of a long-term plan for the future.
Obviously we're in election year, so what would a Labour government mean for Medway and schemes like this?
Well, I think the really important thing for Medway is to really get its future back, and that's why we want brilliant Labour MPs for the future like Nishaba, and also why we want practical things, getting neighbourhood police back on the beat here in Medway, making sure that we've got action to cut waiting lists and some of the real pressures on Medway Hospital that we've seen, and also just a bit of stability for people so that we can tackle problems like the cost of living, get energy bills down. And I've been talking to people, just doing some door knocking, talking to local residents, and things that came up actually was crime and antisocial behaviour, and also cost of living and issues around hospital as well.
A big issue around here was sort of the finances of Medway Council, and a big part of funding schemes like this is the revenue support grant, which has been cut over many, many years. Would the Labour government increase the revenue support grant?
Well, we've seen real long-term problems with the complete lack of growth under the Tories, 14 years, and the economy is just so weak as a result of their failures. And that has also meant we've seen these huge cutbacks in public services. It means we've seen the big hit to the cost of living as well. And that's why we've got to have a long-term plan. So Labour's plan is for a long-term plan for the economy. And that would also mean trying to give local councils long-term stability in their finances as well, so that they can plan, and so we get the economy growing, because that means we can then also put more money into public services.
A war memorial and flowers in a village near Sittingbourne have been crushed by lorries navigating road closures. You can see pictures if you head to Kent Online. The Tommy Soldier statue commemorating VE Day in Borden has been damaged five times since it was installed in 2020. The landlady of the Maypole Inn says she's gutted and is urging people to respect the tribute. Aldi's been told it can build a new store in Ashford. The budget chain's been given permission to develop a site off the A28 in the Kennington part of town, creating 50 jobs. It'll be the retailer's second shop in the town. We're told the other one on Victoria Road is often busy and congested. Now, there's great news today for Folkestone. It's been named as the best place to live in the South East. The Sunday Times guide is based on things like house prices, schools and air quality, as well as transport links, broadband speeds and green spaces. Well, I've been getting reaction from Belinda Walker, who's the town's mayor.
Well, I agree with them. I'm really glad I came to live here. Been here since the mid-90s. I came here for a job interview. I've never been to Folkestone. Walked along the wonderful seabed and thought, yeah, I do want to live here. I do want this job. And I haven't really looked back. Been here ever since.
What do you think it is about Folkestone that has so much charm? I must admit, it is one of my favourite places.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, one thing, we've got a lot of natural beauty here. I mean, I love the seaside. If you're a seaside person, you love Folkestone. Yeah, you've got the coast, which is lovely, the Lower Leeds Coastal Park. You've got the Harbour Arm now, which is fairly buzzing. You've got the old High Street. You've got the precinct, lots of different walks. It's a physically beautiful town. And at one end, you've got the flatness of the Romney Marsh. The other end, you've got the North Downs. So yeah, it's a big variety of countryside. But yeah, that's really the physical side of things around the town. It is beautiful. Lots to do here as well.
And of course, there's been an awful lot of investment in Folkestone. Do you think that's made a positive impact?
It's made a huge difference. I mean, sadly, we've seen the loss of a lot of things like our branch of Debenhams, Marks and Spencer's, Wilco, all gone, as is away nationally. But the Harbour Arm and the old High Street are really quite vibrant now. Not only that, but we've also got up in Sandgate Road and Booth Road West, which is my end of town. You've got a lot of new vibrant cafes, bars, music venues. The Grand Hotel just started, and the Kettles Bar's just reopened. The Green Room is a brilliant music venue, so there's so much going on.
The art scene, I think, is something that's mentioned quite a lot with Folkestone. Obviously, we have the Triennial and things like that, which really do shine a spotlight. Mm-hmm. Does it help when you have big international events like that as well?
I think it does. I think people come down for the Triennial and see that the town is brilliant anyway. The Triennial certainly brings a lot of people in. And we're also the world's first music town, so we've got a lot of music venues going on. All sorts, really, all sorts of different music. Before I became mayor, I hadn't realised we have our own symphony orchestra here, and they are so good. They are fantastic. I've seen them so many times now. We've also got a community swing band. We've got a wonderful choral society. Lots of stuff going on.
Sevenoaks is the only other Kent town to make the list.
Kent Online reports.
A campaign's underway to save a riverside bar and restaurant in Sandwich after it was hit with noise complaints. Council bosses say they're looking into potential issues with the Quayside Bar and Grill. More than 650 customers and residents have signed a petition in support of the venue. Now, we're being encouraged to give Kent a bit of a spring clean over the next few weeks. Keep Britain Tidy are launching their annual campaign to clear litter from our streets, parks and waterways. It's the ninth year it's taken place and runs until the end of the month. This weekend marks exactly 25 years since the opening of Kent's Blue Water Shopping Centre. A special ceremony is going to be held to celebrate the 93 employees who've been there since the very beginning. Among them is Amanda Harper, who works at John Lewis. She's been speaking to our reporter, Keely.
It's just such a lovely environment, and it's lovely in the summer to be able to go and sit by the lakes and go and enjoy some outside space and peace and quiet.
I was there at the weekend, and I was in the car park in John Lewis, actually, and somebody said to me, oh, how do I get in? I've never been here before. I couldn't believe it. Yes. How could you have never been here?
It's very strange, but there are still people that have never been to Blue Water, and we certainly saw a change, I think, after the pandemic, where people didn't necessarily want to commute into London, so we're coming to visit Blue Water instead. So we had a lot of new visitors in the last 2 or 3 years.
It's quite an iconic place to work, isn't it?
It is. And I love the fact that each of the malls has got a very different design. And that was one of the other things I can remember when we first started here. All of our managers, we had a training session with Blue Water, and they talked us through the architecture, and then we got to have a guided tour wearing hard hats as the centre was still being built, but to see some of those things, so things like the roses and the petals, where they increase as you're going through the rose gallery, and the Thames Walk, where you see the all of the Thames on the floor. And then we're located near the Guildhall as well, so you can see all the professions all up on the wall. So there's a lot of attention to detail, and it takes a long time. And even when you're walking around the centre, you still see things that you've not seen before or not noticed before. Even all the roses around the banisters as you're walking along on the upstairs mall, as you're in the Rose Gallery as well. So there's lots of little elements of architecture that make it really special.
I never even noticed. I'm going to be looking for that. Yeah. So you got to, you were there literally before it was finished.
That first day, I still remember the shutters going up at the front of the shop and customers kind of dashing in to come and see John Lewis, as we were the first ones in Kent, to come and see what we were all about. And we were, it was Easter time of year, so there were lots of, certainly working in gifts and gift food, there were lots of giant Easter eggs, and it was all very different and all very new and shiny. And I think our department was the first department to sell something to a customer within about half a minute or a minute of opening.
And you can see a series of special features on Bluewater on the website over the next few days. National Highways have confirmed there'll be more closures on the A249 and M2 slip roads as work continues at the Stockbury roundabout. This weekend from 8pm today until 5am on Monday, there'll be a full closure of the roundabout exit to the M2 Junction 5 London bound. The closure will also be in place throughout next week from 8pm until 5am each night. Full details can also be found on Kent Online. Congratulations to three fish and chip shops in Kent who've been named among the best in the UK. Newington Fish Bar in Ramsgate, Sandy's Fish and Chips in Folkestone and Catch in Ashford have made Fry Magazine's top 50. They've been rated in categories like food, cleanliness and staff expertise. And now with a roundup of everything going on in Kent this weekend, here's Sam Laurie.
Now, I'm not going to do a bad accent, don't worry, but in case you didn't already know, this weekend is St Patrick's Day. That's right, the Irish holiday has made its way to Kent, where plenty of pubs are throwing a shamrock bash in honour of the day, which officially falls on Sunday. We've got a list of bars, pubs and venues that will all be celebrating St Paddy's Day this weekend, with everything from baby Guinness shots to traditional Irish folk music, up on What's On, so make sure you check it out to find out how to get involved. If you want to get some fresh air this weekend, you could always take a trip to Hever Castle, right on the edge of the county, and admire the dazzling daffodils. The annual display officially launches on Monday, but if you do visit over the weekend, you're sure to see some early blooms covering the grounds of the historic castle. This year, there are literally thousands of daffodils planted around the castle that make for a truly beautiful spring display, so it's definitely worth catching during the season, especially if you're a keen gardener or want somewhere where the kids can run free while you take a relaxed stroll through the flowers. When it comes to the theatre, you know we've always got some great shows in store for you, and this weekend is no different. There's still time to see the hair-raising 222 A Ghost Story, starring The Wanted's Jay McGuinness, at the Churchill Theatre in Bromley, as it's running until Saturday night. Then the show will be making way for next week's production, Life of Pi. The spectacular play, based on the best-selling novel and Oscar-winning film, will be at the Churchill Theatre from Tuesday and is an absolute must-see for the life-size tiger puppet, if nothing else, so book your tickets now. And finally, for all the music fans out there, you can catch some top tribute shows this weekend. On Saturday, the cast of Kinks, featuring original members of the 60s band, will be at the Assembly Hall Theatre in Tunbridge Wells. Ed Sheeran tribute Thinking Out Loud will be at the King's Hall in Herne Bay. And Sarah Jane's Dolly Parton experience will be at Revelation Ashford, so there's lots to choose from. So enjoy your pints of Guinness, soak up that springtime feeling, take a seat at an unforgettable show, and most importantly, have a fantastic weekend.
Kent Online Sports.
Football, and Gillingham will be hoping for their first win in four games when they host Grimsby Town this weekend. The Gilts lost 2-0 at AFC Wimbledon on Tuesday. They're currently 10th in the League 2 table, 2 points off the playoff places. Grimsby are fourth from bottom. Well, here's head coach Stephen Clements.
I'm sure it's congested. I've not studied the table. I'm just concentrating on the Grimsby game. I say to you all the time, let's just concentrate on the next game. Obviously, I know how many there is to go, but that's all we can do, take care of one game at a time. We've had a bad week. The week before, we had a very good week. So it's now down to us, as a football club, staff and players, to react and get a good result at the weekend. I think they've done okay recently. They've got a good manager that's experienced at the lower levels. I know David. And one thing's for sure, they'll be very well organised. They've been playing the back five recently. And it'll be another test. There isn't a massive difference with any teams in this division. Everybody seems to give each other a game. And I'm expecting the same at the weekend. But it's down to us to go and take the game to them. We've got to get off to a good start, which we haven't done enough of. And can we go and get all 3 points? We've got the players to do it. But once they get over that white line, they've got to go and perform. We'll try and be on the front foot. We try and do that every game. Doesn't always work out as planned. But look, I don't want to make excuses, but we've got some big injuries in the squad as well. Obviously, we haven't got two of our strikers that we took in January have never been fit. We've got Dom Jeffries, who has been a big player for me, hasn't been fit. We're going to have a suspension with Connor Masterson. So it's not always easy, and it doesn't always turn out how we'd like it to. But one thing's for sure is the boys will be rolling their sleeves up. I can assure the fans of that. And we'll be going to give it a right good go against Grimsby.
You'll be able to follow the match action this weekend at Kent Online. We'll also have reaction to the result in bulletins over on our sister radio station KMFM on Sunday, plus more in Monday's episode of the podcast. But that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk. Whilst you're on the site today, don't forget to check out the latest review from our secret drinker, plus the latest episode of the Kent Politics podcast is also live. You can get that at Kent Online or by going to im-listening.co.uk. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll be back with the podcast on Monday.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online podcast.